Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Sing it with me now. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. One more time. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. We give you the rest of the service into your hands, Lord, and your hands alone, Lord. Let the service be for your glory, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 It's good to see you today. When I was praying, okay, God, what should I go and talk? God gave me this word. God is my everything. He is my everything. He's not just something or nothing. He is my everything. We are here to say He is my everything. We have a lot of things going in our lives, a lot of things going in this world. But one thing is clear, that He is our everything. We can rely on Him. We can depend on Him. We cannot depend on anybody in this world, but we can depend on God. He is my everything. The verse I took for today is Philippians 4:6. Most of you will know this verse. It's Philippians 4:6. Paul wrote this to Philippians, the church Philippians. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He says nothing. He didn't say something or everything, but he said nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And after that, he said, let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious. Everybody is anxious. What is going to happen tomorrow? What we are going to do? Some of them are starting vacation here. Some of them are ending their vacation. What is going to happen? I have to go to work. Will I have work next week? I have a lot of sickness. My relatives are sick. I'm anxious. I don't know what is going to happen. A lot of times I've been in situations like that. When my first child was born. No, it was not born. We were in the hospital. It's somewhat crazy. This is the first child. So I was sitting there and my wife went into labor. We went to Fairfax Hospital. And we were there. She was in labor for 8 hours. And she was diluted 9.5 inches. And around 4 o'clock, like we saw like 10 like doctors and nurse running into the room and said, hey, the baby heartbeat is going down. We have to do a C-section. They took her to the surgery room. They took me in. They gave me that kind of shoes which you wear. And I'm trying to put both the shoes in the same leg. And the nurse came and said, sir, you have to do that in the other leg. Oh, sorry. I'm anxious. What is happening? My wife is already in. So they took her in and I went in and I already saw them starting the surgery. I saw the blood. I said, I cannot handle blood. I will faint. Literally, I'll pass out. So I said, okay, I went and sat next to my wife's head and said, okay, they had a curtain and everything and said, I hear the noise there, sucking the blood. I can't handle it. And I hear the doctor talking about Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl Sunday. And it's like, okay, come on, guys, you need to take the baby out. Super Bowl is fine. And one of the doctors is telling the other doctor, hey, I'm not able to take the baby out. Can you try? I was like, I asked my wife, if the baby is not able to come through normal delivery, and if he's not able to take it, how will the baby come out? She is like, this is not a question you'll ask me now. I got so anxious, like the doctors were trying to pull him out because he was already in the birth canal. She was saying, I cannot do that. They tried three times, and I'm getting anxious because his heartbeat is going down. But God said, be anxious for nothing. He will take care of it. The baby came out perfect with a cone head. His head was like coned. But now it's fine. You saw him today. He is fine today. When the nurse came and gave me the baby, I was looking at the baby's head, and the nurse said, don't worry about that. It'll be fine. Anxious times. Sitting in the room and without knowing whether the baby will come out or not, you're anxious. Your flesh kicks in. Your flesh kicks in. Your mind kicks in. All the things you learned kicks in and said, no, it's not going to happen. But God said in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Everything is going to be taken care. Everything is going to be taken care. Some of us will say, I've been praying for too long. Nothing is happening. Don't worry. It's going to be taken care. Sometimes God promises us, but it never happens in our lifetime. Don't worry about that. God promised Moses that he'll see the land of Canaan, but he didn't see it. Was Moses striken out from the Bible? No. He's still the greatest in the Bible. David said, I'm going to build a temple for you, Lord. He didn't do it. Waiting is good, but don't be anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Bible clearly says, look at your neighbor and say, nothing. Okay. I said, look at your neighbor and say, you're looking at me. Hallelujah. Anxiousness is not good for us. It's when we get anxious, it drives us out of God. It doesn't draw us near to God because it brings fear. Where there's fear, God cannot exist. Where there's fear, God cannot exist. They cannot measure darkness. They'll say there is no light. You must have not heard anybody saying there is no darkness. They'll say there is no light. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. Even for cold, they cannot measure cold. The other way around, there is no heat. They can measure the heat of the place, but they cannot measure the cold of the place. The same way, when there is no God, that means we are giving place for devil, anxiousness. We go into depression, loneliness. The answer for loneliness, isolation. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands me. Is God. Is Jesus. Jesus is our answer. He clearly says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. But in everything. When I was reading about this, God gave me King David. He had a lot of reasons to be anxious. Samuel anointed him when he was between 12 and 14 years old. Say, you're going to be the king of Israel. 12 to 14 years. He was a shepherd at that time. If somebody comes and says to you, you're going to be the president of the United States, you'll be like, wow. When? You don't know. The promise was made to David. 12 to 14 years old. He was 12 to 14 years. He's a teenager. Somebody comes and tells him, you're going to rule the country. How anxious he would have been. I don't know. So many things must have gone in David's mind. Saying, I don't know anything. But God anointed him. God anointed him. When God anoints you, even if you don't know anything, don't worry about that. He will take care of that. When David was 15, he killed Goliath. He's still a teenager. Did he become the king of Israel immediately? No. He's still anxious. Saying, God, you promised me. Samuel was a respected person at that time. one of the respected person of the country coming and anointing you. That's a great thing. That means it is. That's true. It's true. It didn't happen for his brothers, but it happened for David. That means it's true. He knows that. He killed Goliath, the greatest guy, the big guy. If I'm right, Goliath measured around 9 feet, more taller than the NBA guys. It's a giant. He killed that person, but still he was not made the king. After that, 7 years, he was with Saul. Inside the kingdom, inside the palace, doing all the stuff for Saul. He's still anxious. He's still anxious. What is happening? Samuel anointed me 10 years back. I'm still here. Nothing is happening. He didn't push through. He didn't take the kingdom for himself. He waited. He waited. He's anxious. Nothing is there. He's just serving the king of Israel. And after that, his life took a turn to worse. He ran away from Saul for 8 years. 8 years he was running away from him. You cannot run away from a king at those days. It's hard. It's hard. They can track it down. Now we have GPS. Those days it is easy for them to track it down. Now we have drones. They didn't have drones, but still, they have spies all over the place. If you read that 8 years of history, it's amazing how God protected Saul as well as David. The king of Israel is still anointed. God anointed him as king, as well as God anointed David. David is still anxious. God, what do I do? What do I do? Where do I run? He's been running all around the place. Once during the 8 years, he was next to Saul. He could have killed the king, but he did not touch him. Because he knew, even though I don't have anything now, there is something going to come in my life. There is something going to happen in my life. Most of the times we are in that situation. When nothing is there, we love to be in the box called nothing. It's hard for us to come out and say, no, God is there. Because we have not seen him. We have not seen God. We just believe him. And it's hard for us to come out and say, he told me he's going to do it, he will do it. That's where your faith will be tested. Your patience will be tested. Last week I preached like the God who delays. He doesn't delay because he's not able to do it. He delays for your reason, for a reason, because he wants to open up your spiritual eyes. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, but he's delaying because he wants you to know his value. He wants you, your spiritual eyes to be opened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If somebody is sitting here and waiting for things to happen, my kids are not saved. I'm waiting for a miracle in my house, in my life. Nothing is happening. I've been praying for a long time. God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. Nothing is more than that. His grace is sufficient for you. David was running. David was running from Saul. He could have been easily killed by Saul. He was anxious. But God says, be anxious for nothing. When Paul wrote this, you know where he was? Any guess? Prison. He's sitting inside the prison. This is called the prison. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon are called the prison epistles. He was sitting inside a prison and saying, be anxious for nothing. What must have he been going through? He'll be like, I'm inside the prison, inside four walls. I don't know when I'm going to go out. He was a political prisoner at the time. It was not easy to come out. But he is writing from there. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. If you're sitting here and you're so anxious about something, God is telling you, don't worry about that. It is going to come to pass. You just need to believe him. You just need to believe him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like it if you talk back. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. David wrote 73 Psalms. Out of the 150, David wrote 73. There's no mention how much he wrote before he was king and after he was king. But some of the Psalms, you can, if you read, you can say he wrote it before he was king. He was so desperate to something to happen in his life. God did not show up at the time. Only one thing. God's grace was upon David. God's anointing was still upon David. What he was anointed didn't come through. But God's grace was with him. Joseph. There are so many characters in the Bible you can see. Joseph, he waited for 14 years before he became the prince of Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waiting is not bad. Waiting is not bad. Hallelujah. During the period of wait, your patience. Two things will be tested during that time. Your patience when you don't have nothing. Your attitude when you have everything. Hallelujah. When you don't have anything, God will test your patience. Do you still love me? Will you still serve me? When you have everything in this world, will you still follow me? These two things will define your life. When you don't have anything, when you have everything, one thing, do not leave God. Do not forsake him. Whatever you have here will be gone. Whatever you have here will be gone. A day will come. You'll see Jesus. You won't take your car with you. You won't take your house with you. You can't take your wife with you. He will take care of that. If she is saved, she'll be with you in heaven. But your relationship with God, your true relationship with God, coming to church won't make you a Christian. Reading Bible every day won't make you a holy person. Praying every day won't make you a holy person. Doing all these three things won't make you a holy person. You have to do all these things. You have to pray. You have to go to church. You have to read the Bible. But your relationship, is it a tradition you're reading the Bible? Is it because your mom and dad told you, morning, get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, pray, you're praying, or you're out of love, you're doing it? How many times God has woken up you in the night and said, go and pray? Have you did that? That's the relationship he's looking for. That's the relationship he's looking for. When your wife or husband is out of town, anxious to see him, when he's going to come back. I travel a lot. My wife does that. Even if it's 11:30 in the night, she'll be waiting there. She'll make the best food when I return. So I like going out so that when I go back, I get the best food. She's anxious. That's a relationship. You have to have the same relationship with God. If you don't have that relationship, if you don't know who he is, today is the day. Don't wait for tomorrow. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. There's so many things happening in this world which is going out of control. For us, in our eyes, it looks like it's going out of control. But I know God knows what is happening. He knows that. He's letting that happen for a reason. My Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. We may think, why is God letting this happen? Why God is letting this happen? He's wiser than me. We serve a God who is wiser than me. He's wise. He's strong. He knows what is happening. Hallelujah. We serve a God who is stronger, who is wiser. Don't wait for tomorrow. Start building up your relationship with God. Start building up your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So, and after that, it says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, humble yourself. Even though David had Saul in his hand, I hope you know the story. I'm not talking about David Letterman. I'm talking about King David. He had Saul, but he humbled himself and said, no, I cannot kill this anointed man. If you read Psalms, how many times David has prayed. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Some of our friends, some of our family members may be sinners. We condemn the sin, not the sinners. We don't go there and tell, hey, I serve a God who's great. I'm not a sinner. You're a sinner. You don't condemn the sinners. You condemn the sin. David was humble there. He was humble enough. Sometimes we use this word, like, I'm proud to be humble. Proud to be humble? Sure. You're still not humble. God is looking for a generation which is humble, which is in prayer. King David, he went there and said, God, I'm going to humble myself. He lived in cave. Although he was anointed to be king, he still lived in cave. He didn't have his kingdom. He just had like 40 or 50 people with him. But he humbled himself. He humbled himself. God is looking for that generation. We don't need to fight evil. That is, God will take care of that. He will take care of that. You just need to be humble. But in everything, when I was saying everything means you're just not 99% of the things, it says 100% of things, what you follow, what you do, in everything, in prayer and supplication, you have to be there. If you're not humble enough, God is telling, today is the day. He's against the pride. World was different 20, 30 years back. Now it's different. It's going to be different coming days. One thing will not change, the word of God. The word of God will not change. The whole world can fight against this Bible. They are fighting against this Bible. Gay marriage, abortions, they are fighting against this Bible. They are trying to change this. But they don't know the truth. They cannot change it. Hallelujah. Nobody can change it. My God's word, nobody can change it. They can try hard as they can. I can just sit and relax and say, you cannot do it. You can try to burn 1,000 Bibles. I don't mind. I'll buy you Bibles. You burn it. The word will never change. Nobody can destroy this word. Nobody can destroy this world. Nobody can change a word of my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry about everything happening, because we know the truth. The day will come. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Hallelujah. We serve a God. We serve a God who's so powerful. He's so powerful. Even though he's so powerful, he'll be here. I know he's here now. He's talking to you now. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. It doesn't mean he'll be only in a places where 1,000, 2,000 people gather. Bible says where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. He said he will be there. He didn't say I'll try to be there. He didn't say I'll come there after my lunch. He said I'll be there. That means he's here now. He's here now. I know God is here now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's anointing each one of you. He's talking to somebody and saying, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Pray. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, King David, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So many things is in just that word. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. He didn't say, let your request be known to men. No. Let your request be known to God. When we face anything, when we face problems, the first person we may run is to a friend, a spouse. I'm not joking. That's the fact. But God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Let your request be known to me. That doesn't mean he doesn't know what is happening in your life. He knows that. He knows what is happening in your life, but still he expects you to come and tell. Tell him, what is your request? What is your request? David told that. David, so many times, he went to God and said, God, help me out. If you read the history of David, King David, it's amazing. There is a reason why God called him the friend of God. He's so close to God. He's so close to God. Are we there? Are we using God as just a vending machine? I need something now. Let me put a dollar. Boom. Let the Pepsi fall down. Let the grace of God fall down. Let me take it for some time. Is he your everything? Is he your everything? I'm asking you a question. You don't need to raise your hand and say, yes, he's my everything. You know, you're your best judge. You're your best judge. When you go out of this place, I want you to go out believing everything in him. Believing everything in him. Believing everything in him. Everything, whatever we had. We had so many prayer requests. We had so many prayer requests today. Believe in him that he's going to take care of everything. Hallelujah. So many times in my life, he's done it. It looked like we won't be able to get a child. Every time we go to the doctor, they'll say, like, you have to do this procedure. At the end of the visit, one thing is confirmed. They'll say, you have a copay. You have to pay $20, sir. It's like, where is the baby? You're asking me money. You're asking me for so much money, but no baby. But God did not disappoint us. God did not disappoint us. We have two boys now. Praise God. It is not because of doctors. We know that they are from God. Hallelujah. He will not disappoint us anytime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then after that, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. All understanding. Hallelujah. It says the peace of God. So when I was reading that, God gave me this. 2 Samuel 5:17. 2 Samuel 5:17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel. Now when the Philistines heard that David was anointed, what did they do? All the Philistines went up to search for David. They're like, let's go and kill him. The devil does not like when God anoints you. When they heard that David has been anointed king, they were scared. When God anoints you, he is scared. Hallelujah. When you have fear, he has the victory. He means who? Satan has the victory. When you fear for your sickness, when you fear for your life, that means you're praising Satan. Philistines have no place in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan has no place. He can come and try to fear you, try to scare you. But the grace of God, the anointing of God which is upon you, cannot overcome, cannot push you into fear. You can overcome fear. There is a song, right? I will overcome. We can overcome. We shall overcome everything through the grace of God. Through the grace of God, through your prayer, through your relationship with God, through your relationship with Jesus, through your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you have not given your life to Jesus, it's not too late. Pastor is here. Water is here. You can give your life to Jesus and say, I want to accept Jesus today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Tomorrow may not come. There are so many people who went to bed, never woke up. I've seen that happening. Healthy, Just when we were traveling here, we got a news that one of our church friends, sister-in-law, passed away, 39 years old. They don't know the reason. 39 years old. Don't wait for tomorrow. If you don't know Jesus the way you need to know him, get to know him. Get to know him. Don't wait for tomorrow, church. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next Sunday. Next Sunday, some big preacher is coming, so I'll wait for him to come and touch me. 6 days, anything can happen. I'm not here to fear you. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell the truth. I'm here to tell the truth that Jesus is waiting for you. He's knocking at your door and saying, I need that relationship with you. If he comes today, if he comes now, do we have the guarantee? Do we have the guarantee that we will go to heaven? If you don't have the guarantee, pray today. Today and ask God, I want to have that peace in mind. Peace of mind. When you come, I'll come to heaven. How many times you've done that? Hallelujah. Last week I had a tooth. They pulled a tooth. So they gave all the injection shots and they were trying to pull my tooth out. And I felt some pressure over here and I said, Doctor, I'm passing out. Two, 3 seconds before I passed out, I prayed, God, if I have sinned, forgive me. I want to come to heaven. I was not going to die. I know that. And I'm passing out. I've had like 4 surgeries before. Every time before they do like, okay, take a deep breath. I'll say, hold on. Give me 5 seconds. I pray the prayer. Say, God, if there's something wrong which I've done in my life, forgive me for that. Humble yourself. And then I say, okay, now I'm ready. Even if I died in that operation bed, I know I'll go to heaven. Hallelujah. Don't wait till the surgery is over. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you the truth. He is there for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. Amen. Believing whatever you ask. Where 2 or 3 people are gathered, he said, I'm there. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing him, he will do it. He will do it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm keeping watch of the time. I try to look for a clock. Good church, no clock. Praise God. So if you can finish it before 1 o'clock. Hallelujah. Only 3 people left. Other people are like, no. It has to be over. I'm not going to do that. So when the Philistines heard that David has been anointed, what did David do? He went to the stronghold. He went to the stronghold. The Bible says, David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. What does it mean, stronghold? He didn't go into a bunker. He went to God. Said, God, they are coming against me. The king, he had the army. At that point, before he becoming king like this, he was a king of Judah. Now he's king of Israel as well as Judah. Both, everything. He is the king of Israel now. He had the army in his hand, the greatest army at that point of time. Greatest army. But still, he did not say, I have the army, I'm going to do it. He said he went to the stronghold. Your attitude when you have everything. God tests your attitude. He's testing him. Hey, when you didn't have anything, you came to me, David. Let me try it now. Are you still coming to me? Are you still coming to me? Are we there? Are we there? When we have everything, how is our attitude? Anger. When some sickness strikes, how are we? Are we still angry with God? He's testing your attitude. David went to Jesus. He went to God and said, God, what do I do? What do I do? If you read after that, the 18 says, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. 19 is the word. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. David inquired and said, shall I go against? If God had said no, his pride, he just became the king. This is his first war after becoming the king. So they must have told him, no, he's not brave. If God has said no, He must have thought about that. If I go there and ask God, if God says no, my pride will be gone. Nobody will respect me. But still, he did not think about himself. He thought about what he wants to do. What he wants to do. There's a lot of situations in our life what we want to do. We go to God and we tell him, God, I have three options. Choose one. How many times you have done that? Hallelujah. Say, God, especially when you are a youth, everybody must have come through that. God, I like three girls. Pick, choose one. We go with options to God. Instead of that, we should not go with options to God. He knows what he wants to do. We go and say, God, what do you want me to do? You humble yourself. The Bible says, supplications with thanksgiving in prayer. Everything is clear. In prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. We have to do all these things. Going and praying, saying, God, kill that person. He's talking against me, God. Take everything away from him, God. Have we prayed like that? That does not belong to us. We are not the judge. God loves everybody the same way. He doesn't have any partiality. Amen. The Bible clearly says, prayer, humble yourself. Once you get the answer, give thanks. Amen. Even if you don't get the answer, give thanks. Give thanks. When you go into prayer, humble yourself. Kneeling down doesn't mean you're humbling yourself. Humble yourself comes from your heart. Praying for your enemy. Praying for your enemy is hard. There's a lot of people who don't like you, and you know that. They don't like you. Pray for them. Pray for their blessing. When you start doing that, you're humbling yourself. You're humbling yourself. When Jesus was on the cross, he said he doesn't know what they are doing, Lord. He didn't pray and said, God, destroy them. He did not do that. We sing songs like, make me more like you, Jesus, but not on these situations, Jesus. Make me more like you, Jesus, but not on this, like this. We really don't mean it. When we mean and say, hey, Jesus, make me more like you, you have to humble yourself. Learn to forgive your enemies. Learn to forgive your enemies. Hallelujah. So David went and inquired about that. Even though God made David the king, he still went back to God and said, God, I want to inquire about that. He defeated the Philistines at that time. After that, what happened? 5:22 says, then the Philistines went up once again. What happens? The devil will not stop. He will not stop. Because you won it the first time doesn't mean he's not going to come after you the same for the same thing. He will come after you. He will come after you. The Bible in 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He will not be silent. He won't be quiet. Just because you won the first time doesn't mean he won't come again. He will come again. But we have the garment of God. We have the strength of God. We have the grace of God. We have the peace of God. We can defeat him. So the Philistines, even though they were defeated, they came again. They came again. What happened after that is what really surprised me. Wow. David inquired of the Lord. Again he went back to God. The same problem, the same army. Just 2 verses before David inquired to the Lord and said, God, can I go? He said, go. The same army came again. This time David didn't go like, okay, last time God told me to go, so I'm going to go now without inquiring him. He still went back to God and said, can I go now? Can I go now? The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Your understanding may be, okay, last time he told me to go there. Philippians 4:7. Last time you asked me to go there, Lord, so now I'm going to go without asking you. But the Bible says, in everything, the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Your soul, your flesh, is not superior to your spirit, because your spirit should be controlled by Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit controls your spirit, your understanding of God will be clear. Amen. He will guard your hearts and minds. Bible clearly lays out everything. We just need to follow it. We just need to follow it. Say, God, I want my mind to be protected. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. David went back and he conquered Philistines, and he named that place called Baal Perazim. I don't know how to pronounce that. Baal Perazim. The place called Baal Perazim. He named that. That means master has helped me to conquer that place. The breakthrough. Baal means it's master. Perazim means breakthrough. God gave him a breakthrough there. He gave thanks there. He gave thanks. He inquired to the God. He inquired to God in everything. He humbled himself and he gave thanks. Are we in that place? Are we inquiring everything to God? Are we inquiring everything to God in prayer? Prayer doesn't mean you have to go and kneel down and pray for 1 hour and get the answer. Even while you're driving the car, even while you're sitting here, even while you're eating, taking shower, going to bed, every time, whatever you ask in his name, prayer, are you humbling yourself like David humbled himself? After God gives you the victory, are you giving thanks to him? Most of the time we forget to do that. I'm not a holy person to say I'll do that. I've forgot so many times to give thanks to him for the things he has done. Give thanks is more important. It's more important after the victory is there. He's the one who guards your hearts and mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I'm talking, a lot of things must be going in your mind. God, this is happening to me. What do I do? What do I do? How do I face that issue? How do I face that issue? My kids are not saved. How do I do that? What do I do? Ask him. Ask him in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I can do all things in Gold's Gym, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. God is your strength. God is your strength. You can do all things in everything. All things, everything. Again and again, God is telling everything, all things. You need him. You need him. You need him. Are you ready to surrender yourself to God today? Are you ready to surrender to him? Your heart, your mind, your job, your family, your work, whatever you do, your house, your car. And say, God, I surrender that into your hands. I surrender my mind. I surrender my heart. God, take over. Take control of that. When we go out to this place, we should be with confidence in God is my deliverer. God is my strength. Are you in that place? Are you in that place? If you are not there, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Do not delay. Talk to pastor. He will take care of you. He will guide you. He will lead you. If you already accepted Christ long time back and live a traditional life, traditional Christian life with no relationship with God, it's time you build a relationship with God. It's time you build a relationship with God. Seek Him more. Seek Him more. Hallelujah. Can we close our eyes? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to surrender everything we have, Lord. We want to surrender everything we have, Lord. I want to surrender, Lord. Can we pray, church? Can we pray, church? Can you say, God, I want to surrender my heart. I want to surrender my mind. I want to surrender my job. Whatever I do, I want to surrender into your hands, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you. All to you, and I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear. I count it all as lost for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
Hallelujah, Lord. I surrender all to you, Lord. I surrender all to you, Lord. I surrender all to you, Lord. Today I'm going to surrender everything into your hands, Lord. I'm not going to be anxious for anything, Lord. I'm not going to be anxious for anything, Lord. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I'm going to let my request known to you, Christ Jesus. I'm going to let my request known to you, Jesus. Guard my hearts and mind, Lord. Guard my hearts and mind, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for today's message, Lord. We pray for today's word, Lord. We are going to go out with total surrender into your hands, Jesus. We believe in your name. We accept you as a Jesus Christ, as a Savior, as a protector. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, brother. Great message, great message. Before we leave, let's get